It only took 2.5 days, but finally, we have a trade.
Not going to dance, Joey?
I told you I can't dance. Don't even ask.
That's a massive result. What a great day.
We have a trade. It's Tim Kelly. We'll get to him a little bit later on. Ralphie, you've got the news of the day.
Tim Kelly is a West Coast player. Hallelujah. After a deal that was brokered today that gives Geelong 2 first-rounders, 24 and 37, to help seal that Jack Stephen deal. I believe that Eddie Betts will be a Carlton player for pick 48. That deal will soon be signed. A one-year deal only. Adelaide pays about $100,000. He gets paid about $400,000 to $450,000. And Shane Mumford's manager, Anthony McConville, tells me today that he will be playing on in 2020 alongside Sam Jacobs, who, of course, will join GWS in a couple of days.
So we're going to talk about Tim Kelly off the top. Rightly so. It's the biggest deal of the day. It's the biggest deal of the trade period, understandably, maybe until Joe Danaher gets done. Let's talk about the specifics of what happened.
So basically, it's the equivalent of pick 2 in points that West Coast has handed over. 14, 24, 33 and next year's first round pick, which could be about 20. They get back 52 and a third rounder from Geelong. They get back Tim Kelly. Geelong gets 14, 24, 37 from West Coast alone. Their 5 picks within 37 right now are 14, 17, 24, 36, 37, a massive draft arsenal. Everyone's going to say, what happens to Jack Stephen? Well, Secunda wants more than the 36 or 37 currently offered. They're going to pay some of his salary, so that deal will get done, but it's not yet very close. But it leaves Geelong with so many options. It leaves West Coast with Tim Kelly.
All right, so we're going to talk about Tim Kelly with you guys, get your reaction. But beforehand, let's see what he had to say today in his West Coast polo.
Mixed emotions, you know, obviously sad to... sad to leave Geelong, you know, but they'll always hold a special place in my heart, that's for sure. And, yeah, just excited about what we can achieve here at West Coast over the next few years. My mind's been made up for quite a long time now, really. Like, I've just always just felt like this was it. You know, this is the right environment, you know, for myself, my family.
There it is, Tim Kelly today as a West Coast player. Good deal for West Coast, but is it a great deal for Tim Kelly as well, Joey?
Oh, I think absolutely. It's an awesome midfield now when you look at the West Coast Eagles. I mean, really, they've now got 5 All-Australians in that midfield. When you add Nick Nat along with Yo, Shuey, Tim Kelly, Andrew Gaff on a wing. But they've also got their defensive elements. They've got, you know, Mark Hutchings and Jack Redden, and we know Elliot Yo can play defensive roles. So I just think it's an awesome midfield now. We know Tim Kelly can play as an inside mid. We know he can play a bit on the wing. And he's also at Geelong played a bit of a half forward that can come up into the midfield. So I think they've just got some really good flexibility. They've got some options with what they want to do with their midfield. And, of course, they've got the best ruckman when he's up and going in the competition, hitting it down their throat. It's pretty scary, Kingy.
Well, when you look at what's happened, what history shows us, Dangerfield goes from Adelaide to Geelong, who had a contested possession problem, corrects it straight away. Lachie Neal goes to Brisbane, who had the same issue, corrects that straight away. One man or one domino can make a massive difference to the group. This is a group that fly already in terms of winning clearances. They're a great clearance team, but they're not a great contested
ground
possession
ball.
Team.
Yeah.
And ground ball, they're not efficient. That's not the way they necessarily play. But he will have a huge impact on the way they play now. And the scope that it opens up for Adam Simpson, who traditionally has just picked 7 backs, 7 mids, 2 ruckmen and 7 defenders. So I think he's now got some scope to play with another maximum damage player.
Didn't he have a smile on his face, Adam Simpson? I reckon his hair almost went from grey back to brown. You talk about balanced midfielders, though. So Geelong of 2007-11, they had Cameron Ling as a pure stopper who could also get off the chain at times. You look at West Coast of 2005-06, Stenglein, of course, so many blocks, defensive stuff. Cox as a ruckman. So this team not only has an absolute star ruckman, of course they've got ball hunters, 3 or 4 blokes who can play defence. It's as balanced as any midfield we've seen.
Is it as good as any midfield in the competition right now?
The thing is, we haven't seen Nick Nat, really.
Yeah.
He played 5 games last year.
But does it have the potential to be?
Oh, of course it does. I mean, you've already said that, you know, potentially 5 All-Australians in there. I don't think Shuey has been yet, but he should have been.
Yep.
But this is what the trade period's all about. It's about setting up opportunities to win premierships, not to just add depth to your list. And we talked about Neil, McCarthy, Adams, Lyons, Hodge and Cameron, the last 6 traded / free agency players to Brisbane. And Richmond, their last 4, Lynch, Prestia, Nankervis,
Caddy's in there as well.
And Caddy's the other one. So there's an opportunity now, I think, for West Coast. And they've probably paid overs, but they just had to get their man. And if he's going to come into this midfield, he can play anywhere.
Yep.
You know, the half forward role that he played through the finals series for Geelong was significant.
Yep.
6-year deal, about $800,000 a year. So they're going to have some cash issues. They're going to have to push some players back. But of course, Josh Kennedy comes out of contract next year. So they're almost getting him cheap as chips as well.
Well, the age demographic of some of their senior players, they can, you can back end that deal. And there'll be players that, you know, drop off. Nick Nat's getting towards 30 and Josh Kennedy, etc. But I also wonder now, King, if what we're seeing with some other teams, West Coast, as you've said, have always kept their same forwards. As Josh Kennedy gets a little bit older, and he's probably not going to be as dynamic as he was, maybe one of these mids can go and play a bit more out of the goal square. Can Elliot Yeo play a bit more forward like a Dusty Dangerfield? Can Luke Shuey pinch hit a bit more forward? It does. It gives them flexibility, and well, they're going to be awfully hard to beat.
And Nick Nat must be very excited about this as well, because he tweeted today, and he's one of the most formidable people in the AFL on social media, and he was a very, very pumped up Ruckman King.
Oh, and rightly so. He knows. He knows what this means.
Yeah.
I mean, if he can get himself fit and if he can play 20 games next year, we know he only plays 60% of ground time, so the risk mitigation is there. They've learned how to, you know, treat his body and cope, you know, so he can rehab and recover and prepare for games. But
he's probably thinking about a flag next year, isn't he?
Well, they always, of course they are. Yeah. I mean, they're an inch away again this year. I mean, everything went wrong.
But for him, he hasn't played in one. I mean, it's a massive moment in his career.
Oh, yeah. He probably wouldn't be thinking that. He's just thinking, get the best players in. Let's just get the best guys at ground level that can get off the chain. Because you're talking about tagging. Not that it happens a great deal in midfields, but when it does happen, it happens to Luke Shuey.
Yep.
And they've struggled for that next player to get off the chain and become maximum damage. Now you've got Kelly. It's almost the 1-2 punch now.
Yep.
Yo's a different sort of player. Yeah. And what that means for Yo, we'll talk about down the track.
You talked about unhappy players not playing great football. So consider what he's gone through in the last couple of years with two kids who are autistic, as he spoke about today. Now, not to say he's going to get dramatically better, but, I mean, he's going to be rested. He's going to be jumping on a plane every now and then. But there is the capacity for this bloke to just be so settled mentally and obviously still having played 40 games of football that he could be a better footballer in the next couple of years.
Yeah, I will say that you've just got to be a little bit cautious. Going into a new system, it can take a little bit of time to adjust. And West Coast do play a different system to some other teams, so he might just take a little bit of time.
He did it OK at Geelong.
He is, but it's going to be very hard to be much better than he was at Geelong. Let's be honest, he was top five in the Brownlow medal, for God's sake. So he's not going to be much, much better. But, it's a huge coup for West Coast Eagles. And what it does, it puts a pep in the step of all the players on their break now. They're going to look after themselves because day one pre-season, they know that there's a premiership right there for them if they want it.
It does more than that. That's where I'm going with it
again.
Where
are you going? What do you got? Well, I think
that when you look at this list now, this build, that this is right now their opportunity to win the flag again, for the second time in a short space of time, because the midfield's stacked. And that's probably been the one concern. They've always had a great forward line, great targets in Daly and Kennedy, and the small guys have had a fantastic 18 months. Their back line's stacked. We know that with McGovern down there doing what he does. But they've been one gun short in the midfield. I know we talk a lot about the lockdown roles that Hutchings done, but they can go full ball now.
Yep.
They can go flat out attack. I think when you look at their list and what's come into it now with Kelly and Nick Nat, in my mind, coming back still next year, only five games this year, it's on par with Richmond getting Rance back. And these two teams, from a list point of view, with just even luck, are miles in front of the competition now. And that's been the coup, and that's why they've given so much to the West Coast. I think right now they'd be on the same line as Richmond for premiership favouritism.
So if you're Adam Simpson, you're trying to cuddle Tom Barras because he had a really poor last few weeks of the year. You're trying to make sure that the fitness is there in Josh Kennedy, because what are your other weaknesses? You're right, they're absolutely stacked.
But they need Elliot Yeo now to play the Dustin Martin role.
Yeah.
To play centre forward, because he can contested mark.
Yep.
He can go forward. They've never had that luxury. They've got to find someone to replace Willy Rioli. Not just Kelly. Kelly can't just be that player. They're going to have one of these midfielders spit forward every now and then. It's going to be a luxury Adam Simpson hasn't had.
You look at the West Coast list. I'm intrigued how they fit Tim Kelly in, because they've got so many stars, Ralphie.
Well, Richmond hasn't been able to do it, haven't they? They brought Tom Lynch in, albeit having to back end him, and that's what they'll have to do. But they've already got Dustin Martin on 1.4, Prestia on 800. You know, three stars in terms of Cochin and all those players. So,
smart players work out that it's not about necessarily maximising your income. It's about winning premierships.
So if he puts his hand up to Fremantle and says, you give me the money, can't buy offer, it might have been 1.4. He's happy to play for about $800,000 for the next 6 years. He gets his security. He gets set up for the rest of his life. But he's potentially leaving $2 or $3 million on the table to play for the right club.
Absolutely. He's getting paid unders. For some of the other money we've been heard throw around for other players in the competition, $800,000 for Tim Kelly's unders.
Absolute bargain. Adam Simpson was certainly a very happy man today.
We understand to keep our list together, you've got to give up picks, and that's what we've done. So we've been able to get someone like Tim into the club and hold on to our players, which at this stage where we're at is important, and it's made our list stronger.
All right, we're going to do this for all the big trades, guys. Thumbs up or thumbs down for both clubs. So we presume we're all a thumbs up for West Coast.
Absolutely.
West Coast Eagles,
absolutely.
Yep. Win.
Let's talk about Geelong. But before we do, I want to hear what Steve and Wells, their list manager, had to say about the trade this afternoon.
Happy as we could be under the circumstances. We're losing an outstanding player, of course, but receiving these draft picks does give us an opportunity to look at our list in a different way over the next couple of years. We've certainly got options now. We can bundle together, we can move into next year's draft if we can try and work a deal that way, or trade them for other players. We're open to all sorts of different options, and with a week to go in trade period, we'll go back and do some work on that.
All right, for the Cats, thumbs up or thumbs down from you, Ralphie?
Thumbs down right now.
Thumbs down.
Why is that?
Well, if I'm Joel Selwood, or I'm Patrick Dangerfield, or I'm Harry Taylor, or I'm Tom Hawkins, I'm saying to myself, I want ready-made players. Patrick Dangerfield has talked about that elusive flag. So Abler 35, Taylor 33, Selwood, Hawkins 31, Danger 30. So what we might see is them trading up for some early picks or getting some stars in. But right now, five picks in 35 doesn't really gel with those experienced players.
Kingy, your thumbs up.
Well, what other option did they have?
Well, Ravi's just given a thumbs down.
But they can then become players. So, I mean, they've got to get the picks in first before you can on-sell them. I mean, 30, what was it, 37? Will probably likely become Jack Stephen. Now, they want more than that. That's up to Geelong to negotiate. Who knows what they're going to do with 14 and 24. But they had no other option. I mean, clearly they didn't want this guy who's a Brownlow medal contender leaving their club. They didn't want that to happen, but that's the system now. So I don't know what other option they had, Ralphie.
So by next Wednesday, it might be a thumbs up. But right now, look, I understand that they have got really exciting young kids. What Geelong think is Parfitt, Nakai, Cockatoo, Fogarty, Narka will come on quickly.
But and we know that a thumbs down. Why are you giving it a thumbs down? And you've all given it a thumbs down. What other option did they have?
For me, I would like them to have a top 10 draft pick. So at the moment, I'm the same as Ralphie with what they've got at the moment. Picks 14, five picks after 14 for me is not good enough. Because if you look at the stats, Kingy, the last 10 drafts, you got less than a 40% chance of getting a solid AFL player between picks 14 to 60. You've got less than a 10% chance of getting a gun, an all-Australian type player. The top 10 is where you get your guns. That's where you get the best players in the competition. You've got a 40% chance of getting an all-Australian caliber player. I would have liked Geelong to have pushed harder and said, no, instead of giving us all these picks, we need at least one pick inside the top 10.
Kelly now, himself was pick 24.
He was, and he's the exception. And I've got the name. For every Tim Kelly or Rory Sloan taken at 44 or Nat Fyfe at 19, there's 70-80% chance that there are guys that aren't going to become superstars like them. You look at the odds, I just think a top 10 pick, they still might trade up for those and get a top 10 pick, but at the moment, I don't think pick 14 and beyond is good enough in draft these days. You need a top 10 draft pick.
You're Patrick Dangerfield, you're thinking, I need to win a flag, say in the next 3 years. You're not getting excited about the value of trade points.
No, you're not.
You're thinking, what can come in?
That's today, that's right now. Yeah. Those picks could become players, they could become a top 10.
So by next Wednesday, it might be a thumbs up. Okay. And look, let's look at the record.
As we are now.
Jordan Clark picked 15, Harry Taylor picked 17, Tim Kelly himself. So we all understand that, you know, Wellesley is a wizard. He might eventually do something extraordinary, but right now, they're just picks.
Yeah. Jack Stephen, speaking of just picks, because he's flirting around Geelong. He's met with Geelong a couple of times. Stephen Wells said today, there is every possibility he'll stay at St Kilda. We might not be able to come to a deal, end quote. Do we see this going late or maybe not even getting to Geelong at all, Ralph?
Oh, I think that's all posturing. I understand there is a significant way apart between this deal getting done. But, you know, he's a super player. He clearly doesn't want to be at St Kilda. He wants to be at Geelong. So, look, if it's not 37, I'm sure they'll find a mid-20s pick. And if St Kilda is paying some of his salary, then they deserve to get a better pick. It'll get worked out, but it hasn't been done yet.
I think what's happening, St Kilda need some better picks, and that's what they're trying to do. So I think early days it might have been a later pick. I think now St Kilda, knowing they need to get picks in the 20s and 30s to get the other players they want to bring into their football club. So maybe they are going to have to pay a fair bit of Jack Stephen's wage to satisfy Geelong and get one of those picks in the 30s. I think it will get done, no doubt. It will be a steal, a pick in the 30s, if you get the best version of Jack Stephen. If you get the best of him, four-time best and fairest winner, explosive player, can push forward and kick goals, it's a great get. It's just going to be where his motivation levels and how he's feeling within himself next season.
I'm playing hardball if I'm Geelong. There's pick 37. You take it or leave it. He's your problem at the moment. He wants out of your football club for all the reasons we know. We don't need to back over those. But he's leaving the Saints to come to us. We're not trying to steal him off you. So there's your pick. Either take it or leave it. Up to you.
And we look, it's mental health, so we've got to be really cautious with it. He's not going to be the full-time Barker medalist. You know, he's going to be a player who's going to have some great games, as he did when he kicked three goals against Freo. The next week against Carlton, he had 10 possessions. He was unsighted. So he will have blinding moments. And as you say, if he's not playing at St Kilda, if he's not getting pick 37, you're not playing anywhere. So they can afford to play hardball.
Just one quick word on Freo, Kingy, missing out on Tim Kelly. Were they ever truly in the mix for him, do you think?
Well, he didn't nominate Freo.
No. I mean,
this is the crux of what I've said the other night.
Yeah.
If he nominates Freo, he gets here. He nominates West Coast, they get a deal done. So I think it was a nonsense from the start. And even in Tim, he said that they were never in the discussion. It wasn't really part of what we were doing. So it's great to say we get better picks from other clubs, but it was never happening. So I don't even know why we're bringing it up, because 6 and 7 were never on the table.
No, Justin Longmire and Peter Bell both had a chat with Anthony van der Veen in his office last week. Didn't even meet with Tim Kelly. It was never going to happen.
OK. That's enough of Tim Kelly, and I never thought I'd say that because we've been speaking about him for the last week.
Well done, West Coast.
You've got a Ralph scoop of the day, John.
I certainly have. Eddie Betts will make an emotional return to Carlton and an emotional reunion with David Teague, of course, his former assistant coach at Adelaide. So my understanding is it will be a one-year deal. The deal is all but done. He'll earn about $400,000. $100,000 or so of that will be paid by Adelaide. And look, I understand that there are reservations about this player, given that Papley might come in and Jack Martin will as well. But what I think Carlton feel is it's a one-year deal. There is a safety net. If he struggles, he'll play at the Northern Blues. It's not on a lot of cash for them. So I think it makes some sense for them. A two-year deal, if Eddie struggles by round five, there are real issues. Kingy, do you like it with those parameters?
No, I don't. And we've had this discussion. Yeah. He's been a wonderful AFL player, an absolute star for Carlton. And what he did with the Adelaide Crows was just magical, to be honest. But at 33 years of age, after 320-odd games, I just think it's time to move on. I mean, what's he going to do for Carlton? People say, oh, he's there for cultural reasons, to be a leader. They've got some great leaders there already at the moment. I don't see the need for this to happen. I'd rather spend that pick on a Dan Butler or a Riley Knight, 23, 24 years of age, and get a player that you can hang on to for a decade. They're my thoughts. Now, clearly they're not Carlton's, and that's fine. That's the business we're in.
But they were Stephen Silvani's, and then David Teague won that power struggle. Let's not forget that Stephen Silvani had told Adelaide, we don't want Eddie Betts. This was a power struggle behind the scenes that David Teague and maybe even Kane Little ended up winning round.
That's healthy, though, isn't it?
That's healthy. It is.
The list manager, in the end, was overruled by others.
But you've just gone and signed up David Teague and you said, we want you as a relationships-based coach. Yeah. So he clearly feels, I can get more out of him than those 37 goals. We all understand the weaknesses of Eddie Betts, but you've got to back the bloke in at some stage.
Yep.
And in a day and age where we talk about vulnerability and connection, I mean, Eddie Betts, what he can do for that locker room, you might not be able to put goals and marks and kicks on that stat. He will just bring something to that football club, whether it's within the team, whether it's within the fans and the members, selling merchandise, bringing kids to the footy. There's more to it. And as you said, Ralphie, as long as there's no guarantees that he has to play 22 games, if he's not up to it with his football, he plays reserves.
I'd hate to see him at the Northern Lions. I really would.
Well, that's the day and age we're in these days. Ruffy's done it. I mean, you know, I think players, if they want to continue their career, it's good money still, $400,000. He's not going to earn that outside in the real world, so he's happy to play. And if he knows he's going to play some Bull Ants football, if he's not going well enough, so be it. But I think it can't hurt having him on the list when you've got 44 spots.
Yeah. And people say he's beaten up on Gold Coast twice, which he has. Everyone beats up on Gold Coast. You know, Jack Riewoldt, you know, kicked 10 or 12 goals against GWS early in there. You know, people have won Coleman medals doing that. I still think he's a valuable
player. So would you look at Butler and Knight versus Betts is my discussion?
Well, it's a no-brainer from a purely playing perspective, isn't it? But there's clearly more to it.
That's what we're doing.
But is a pressure player. Butler is a goal-a-game pressure player. They've already got that, whether it's Matty Kennedy or whether it's Gibbons who they brought in.
Yeah.
This bloke can change games. Butler's a handy player. He's not a match winner.
I don't disagree with what you're saying. We have more of this discussion after the break and also talk about Mason Cox and Sam Jacobs. Welcome back to Trading Day. I want to talk about Mason Cox because this has really grown legs over the last 24 hours. What's the truth around Essendon, Collingwood and Mason Cox, Ralphie?
Don't we love a media spat? Oh, I think what's absolutely possible is that at some stage, Essendon and Collingwood had a brief discussion about Mason Cox. So Essendon has said today angrily, we are not chasing Mason Cox. That could be true.
Mean they didn't chase him.
Exactly. It doesn't mean that they didn't at some stage there. Kingy, what is apparent now, though? Collingwood, really tight salary cap. Mason Cox is on something like $500,000, given Brisbane had massive interest a few years ago. How important is he to Collingwood's structure? And if someone else managed to say, we like Mason Cox, should they consider that offer?
Well, it's a great talking point. I mean, what does he bring Collingwood? That The run of 2018 was huge against Richmond. Was fantastic for a quarter in that third quarter, I think, in the grand final. So what he brings is he brings a contest. He brings a reference point. Now, you can't put a price on that. It's not necessarily there in goals. It's not necessarily there in marks. So some of these things are intangibles. You can't necessarily say. What does he bring the next club? Well, Essendon may have a void, Ralphie. So this is the exact role they're missing. That and secondary ruck role, which has become a really significant part of a lot of teams, not necessarily Collingwood's, because they've got a guy that plays 95% ruck. So I think the $500,000 is neither here nor there to me. It's the actual role on game day that you lack is why we have these trade discussions, not necessarily the finance or the goals. What are your thoughts?
No, look, I think Mason Cox, you're right. He gives them a structure. And as Collingwood spoke about all year, he gives them something to kick to. Gives them a contest. I don't necessarily know if you want to be paying someone big money to just to provide a contest. I mean, Oscar McInerney does that at the Brisbane Lions. There are other players that do that. So I understand that Collingwood need to offload somebody. Is Mason Cox the one that's dispensable? I don't know. They need to bring someone else in if that's the case. It sounds like he's going to stay. Look, I think he's important to them, but he's certainly not a match winner that he did in the prelim. That's the only time we've really seen it.
So he's the Tom Boyd, though, of Collingwood. You know, Tom Boyd got paid $7 million for a great prelim and a great grand final. You know, if he kicks one more goal in that grand final after his amazing prelim,
and he's worth it.
You know, he's a sacred figure. They put a statue up of Mason Cox.
But it's what you drop down to from there.
Yes.
The domino effect. Yep. So Cox leaves that role. Who fills that role?
Well, we had that chat last night. You could get Josh Jenkins for $200,000 to give you something.
He doesn't stand under the ball at Mason Cox.
No, he doesn't. No, but he might be. But he kicks more goals.
So if Essendon...
But that's not the role.
No.
I can find you a player that will kick more goals, but we're filling that role.
So who is the player that can fill that role for Essendon if Joe Danaher leaves?
That's the argument they've got. And to me, it's names like Mason Cox. It's names like Taylor Walker. You know, is he unhappy where he is? I mean, he's just stood down from the captaincy. Is he someone you could go and get? Because that's exactly what you need. Some leadership, someone who can come at the football and take a strong mark. Now, I know he's got his flaws. Everyone's got their flaws. But that style of player is what they need. So it's easy to say he's not this. But who is that next banana that fills that role?
Do you need the old-fashioned bash and crash, full forward, centre-half forward in the modern game? Because if at Essendon, if he went to Essendon, they've got him, McKernan, Mitch Brown, they're all mark and lead players. Do you need the old-fashioned grunty centre-half forward?
Well, I think you do. I think Essendon need a little bit if they're talls. I know we talk a lot about Mitch Brown and Sean McKernan. They have wonderful one-off games. They haven't necessarily put it together.
So does Cox. That's all Cox does.
Yeah, but Cox can play secondary ruck and he can fill another role for you. Bell Chambers is not a bankable commodity at the moment in terms of games across any given season. So I think there's a couple of opportunities for Essendon to look at him.
Ralphie, Orazio Fantasia, speaking of Essendon, met with his manager today, Michael Doughty. Are we expecting to see something in the next couple of days that suggests that he wants to go to Port Adelaide officially?
We've expected that for the last 3 or 4 days. Yeah. So I've just checked into the last 15 minutes. That trade request still hasn't come. We're waiting. Mm. Everyone expects it will. So no movement on that. It's not to say it won't come.
What about Dougal Howard in this entire role?
So Dougal Howard is more than happy to go to Essendon in a trade. I think the numbers are interesting because since we revealed that he was on the trade table, everyone said, who's Dougal Howard? And he's almost got this mystique. I think what the statistics show, though, is he's very much a defender. If you look at his stats, and he only played 9% as a forward, they were very average here. As a key forward, a defender, though, elite for spoils, above average, though, for intercept possessions and marks. Yeah, the forward stuff, and if he is to play forward at a club like Essendon, I'm not sure that's going to maximise his talent. Even if it was North Melbourne, who's going to put him in as a key defender, lock him away, is it give him the best chance to thrive, Joey?
Yeah, I don't mind him as a defender. I think Dougal Howard's a very good defender, good age. The thing about Essendon's fault, I mean, Sean McKernan, if you look at his numbers the last 2 years, King, he basically averages the same stats as Mason Cox. He averages one bit goals, a couple of contested marks, and he can pinch hit in the ruck. So, Mike, I'm concerned about Essendon. To lose Danaher and Fantasia, really, I think they're in a big hole. Now, I don't think Mason Cox is the answer. I don't think Sean McKernan is the answer. Exactly right. They're going to have to get creative.
Yeah, what do you think about Dougal? Because he has taken on this air of dominance. He's turned into a superstar, even though he wasn't in the team late last year.
No, I think they're significant roles in your team. I mean, we outside looking in, we say, oh, that's just a big-time role in your footy club. But when it leaks, it leaks hard. And I think that there's enough defenders that I don't think necessarily Essendon's a great fit for him.
Well, Hooker's 31 and Hurley's 29.
Turk Thatcher, who's, I think, a very good player coming through. I'd like to see him get more opportunity than go and buy one in.
Speaking of guys who stand underneath the ball, Levi Casbolt is part of your Moneyball call tonight.
Well, he is, because, again, we're trying to find players that you might be able to pry out of a club that aren't necessarily in their best team. Where is Levi Casbolt for 2020? First of all, his contract situation, Ralphie, been a bit of confusion. Where's he at with that?
So he's got one more year in his contract. His manager is desperate to get an extension past that. He was fifth in the best and fairest. Carlton will not sway away from that one-year deal. There are no suitors for him yet, but maybe a club like Essendon.
Now, Essendon might be perfect because, Kingy, is Levi Casbolt in Carlton's best 22? When you look at their defence, Liam Jones, Plowman finished third in the best and fairest. They've got Wiedering up forward. We know about Charlie Curnow, McGovern, McKay. Is he in their best 22?
Had a pretty good year.
Yeah, really good year. I reckon he's a very good player. So does another club go after him? Do the Bombers maybe say Levi Casbolt? Does maybe a Kangaroos shore up their defence? They've lost Scott Thompson. There are clubs that might need someone like Levi Casbolt. Offer him a 2 or 3 year deal. Give him that security. He could be another money ball pick up for some clubs looking for either a key forward to crash and bash or a key defender.
Very quickly, Sam Jacobs and Shane Mumford. What's happening there at GWS?
So Shane Mumford has triggered a clause, and more than that, he's desperate to play on next year. He needed 18 games. He got that in the semi-final. So he will play on. Jacobs will get to the club as well. So both of those blokes will play together at times, and at times one of them will play Neefel.
Now, are we going to see John Patton arrive at Hawthorne tomorrow?
I don't know. Who would have thought the Tim Kelly deal would have been the first one we would ever
do two deals in 2 days, Ralph. Way too far.
Call your Jets.
And Joe Danaher maybe as well. It'll be very interesting to see what goes on tomorrow. You've been great tonight, Joey, Kingy, as always. And Ralphie, I look forward to seeing your work tomorrow night. Tim Kelly, he is officially a West Coast Eagle, and aren't we all happy about that? Hallelujah.
This has been a Fox Sports production.